Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. When Katie and I got married, we decided to go on a cruise for our honeymoon. One evening, we went to the steakhouse on board the ship, and we ordered the meal. It was an all-inclusive meal. You paid one price, and so being on a cruise ship and paying the price that we paid, it wasn't that much. I didn't expect to get much food. You know, I figured you probably got a little steak like this and maybe a little potato. And so, to our surprise, it was a pretty good-sized steak and a really good-sized potato and salad. But what really got me is when they brought out the dessert. And if you want to see it afterwards, I have the picture to prove it. The cheesecake was the size of Katie's head. I mean, it was not at all what I expected. This was a massive piece of cheesecake. Another time, I ordered a TV stand online, and I expected it to be standard size. You know, when you order a TV stand, you expect it to at least stand up this high. Well, when it came, it was like right here. You're like maybe 2 feet, and I'm like, that's like a TV for Ella, a TV stand for her size. And it was not at all what I expected it to be. Life doesn't always go as we expect it to go, does it? However, as we pray to God, we should expect Him to move in our lives. Today, we're going to look at a passage that helps us see God's mighty power on display as the church prays. Every year at the end of the year, I try to give us a word that's going to be our word for the year to come. And so our word for 2024 is expect. I'm going to challenge us this morning as a church to expect God to move as we cry out to Him. We're going to expect God to move in His church. We're going to expect God to move in our lives. And we're going to expect God to move around the world in order to grow His kingdom. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. As we start out, the first thing that I want us to see and I want us to understand is that whenever we stand for God, whenever we try to be the men and women that God has called us to be, there will always be opposition. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for your incredible goodness, love, grace, and mercy. And I do pray that you would speak to us today through the power of this passage. I pray that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take over. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So as we start out, we see this opposition. Your trouble will come. When we live for God, people will always stand against us. The enemy does not want the message of Jesus to spread. The Bible even promises that we will face hardships. I don't know where this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel came from, where when you give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be just fine. That's not biblical. As we look at Scripture, we clearly see that when we stand for God, we're going to go through difficulties. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial among you, which comes up on you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." 1 Thessalonians 3:3 says, "So that no one would be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. You know, at this point in Acts, Stephen has been killed. Saul was going door to door to get Christians and throw them in prison until he met Jesus. And now James is killed and Peter is put in prison. It's safe to say that the church was under attack here in Acts chapter 12. Still today, nothing has changed. The church continues to be under attack. There is always trouble and opposition for those who stand for the Lord. People continue to be killed for the message of Jesus. There are countries where if you are found to be a Christian, they will execute you. We've even seen that in our own country. We can go back years ago to the story of the Columbine incident, where the guy went into the school and shot up the school and put his gun to the head of one of the girls and says, "Deny Jesus, or do you know Jesus? And if you say yes, we're going to kill you." And she said yes, because she was more concerned about living for Jesus. And so living for Jesus, there's always opposition. There's always going to be struggles. What we see here is the king kills one follower of Jesus, and it goes well for him. So he decides, hey, let's arrest Peter so we can kill him as well. He probably thought that if he could get rid of the leaders of this new movement, he could stop the movement. Because James and Peter, these are two of Jesus' inner three. Jesus' inner circle was Peter, James, and John. And so this is two of that inner circle. One has been killed. The other one is now put in prison. One commentary says this: we shouldn't be surprised when we face opposition while living on mission. We should be surprised when we don't. Well, this passage also leads to a much harder question that we as Christians often struggle with. The passage helps us to see that being a believer does not mean we don't suffer. At times, we struggle with questions like, why did this person have to die? Or, why does God allow a young person to get cancer and to struggle and to suffer? You know, at some point in time, each and every one of us has had a question like this: God, why did this person have to die? Or, why does this person have cancer? Why did James die and Peter spared? We could ask that question because we see that the church was praying for Peter. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to see how God moves in a miraculous way. Do you not think that the church was praying for James too? Why then was James killed and Peter spared? Why did this person have to die? Why does this have to happen to me? Why does this person have cancer? Why am I struggling with this? We don't always understand why God allows things to happen. And at times, it can even cause our faith to wander. This is human nature. It's human nature when we start to question these things. James was killed. Peter was rescued. Why would God allow one to die and one to be rescued? Well, the simple answer is God's plan is not the same for all his people, which can be challenging for us to understand and even deal with. God's plan is different for every person. Even so, we need to pray, trusting that all things will work out for the good of those who love him. One pastor says this: James and Peter were both operating in the will of God, but God had different plans for how each would bring him glory on earth. We don't have the answers, but we trust God. We must know that God has a bigger plan in play. And even though James was not spared, we know that at the moment of his death, he was with Jesus. So in the end, who ended up with the better deal? Because we know that James, who followed Jesus, would have been with Jesus. One commentary says, God calls us to trust him, even when life hurts. His ways are wise, good, and just. And we must remember this. God has given us his Son. God doesn't promise to give us an explanation for everything, but he has given us the promise that changes everything. He will raise us up from the dead. So we may not understand why God took this person and not this one. We may not understand why this person has cancer or why drunk drivers kill innocent people and they survive. But we know that God has a good and perfect plan. And one day, every single one of us that believe in him will be raised to be with him for all eternity. Life can hurt and be very confusing at times. We are to trust God and follow him with all we are. We see that Peter here is secured. Once he's arrested, he's placed securely in the prison in chains guarded by soldiers. Now, there's a good chance that Herod had heard about what happened last time Peter was in prison. In Acts 5, we see that. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and taking them out, he said, go stand and speak to the people in the temple, the whole message of this life. And so last time Peter was put in prison, he escaped. So Herod probably heard about that. And so now, once we look at this story, he is placed inside double gates. He's got soldiers chained. He's chained up. Soldiers chained to him. Soldiers outside the door. So he's got him secure. He's like, there is no way. Herod wanted to ensure that there was no way Peter could escape this time. It seems Peter has found himself in an impossible situation with no hope of escape. Now, what I find fascinating is when we look at Peter and we look at this situation that he's in, look at verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was sleeping. Now, if you're about to be brought out to be killed, and you're chained and you got all this going on, are you going to be sleeping? Peter is sleeping. Peter had inner peace because he knew it would be good no matter what happened. He had trust in God. It may seem that Peter was in an impossible situation. And today you may feel like you're in an impossible situation. You may feel like someone that you love or care about is in an impossible situation and you may not know what to do. But I want to tell you this morning that all things are possible with our God. When it comes to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is no such thing as an impossible situation. Peter may feel like he's in an impossible situation, but he's not. And what do? We pray. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant or fervent prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church was praying for Peter. It says they prayed fervently or earnestly or constantly for him. It means they didn't give up. It means they kept praying. As the church, we must pray for those around us. We are to pray for those in need. We are to pray for those who are sick. We are to pray for those that are in some form of prison. It could be a prison to some form of addiction. It could be a prison to themselves. It could be prisons come in all shapes and sizes. And we are to pray for them to be set free. And most of all, we must pray for the Lord's will to be done. How is our prayer life as we end 2023 and get ready for 2024? How has our prayer life been this past year? Is there room to go as we grow, as we move into 2024 when it comes to our prayers to God? Do we fervently pray for those in need? And as we pray, Do we expect God to move as we pray? And that's what I want us to focus on this morning. When we pray, as the church, we're called to pray. When we pray, do we expect God to move? When the people of God pray, He will move in mighty ways. Let's look at what happens in this text. Picking back up in verse 6. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. Now look at this. Bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door was keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Now, normally, if I'm sleeping good and a light comes on, it generally wakes me up. Well, this bright light shows Peter sleeping so good it doesn't even wake him up. The angel has to poke him. "Peter, get up." And I love this. As soon as Peter gets up, what happens? The chains just miraculously fall off. So it continues, verse 8. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. So Peter thinks this is just in his head. Verse 10. When they were past the first and the second guard post. Okay, so let's put all this together. Chained, soldiers on each side, soldiers in front of the door, now two guard posts. Okay. That they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And so now this big old massive iron gate just opens for them. That leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Now I like this. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate. Dude's just escaped from prison, and he's outside in the open knocking on the door for the people that's been praying for him, and they're not letting him in. But she ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate, but they said to her, "You're beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "It's his angel." Now Peter's out there knocking. So verse 16, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. This reminds me so much of my prayer life. And if we're honest, it probably reminds us so much of our prayer life as well. The church was praying for Peter. And when he was rescued, it shocked them. You know, how often do we pray to God for something to happen? How often do we cry out to God, and then when God does what we pray for, we're like, "Huh?" You know, the other night we were talking a little bit on Wednesday night, and Joe said something really powerful. He said, we should be shocked when God doesn't do what we say. When God doesn't answer our prayers. And what we see, this is an incredible thing taking place. God moves in a mighty way. As the church prayed, God moved. An angel came to Peter and walked him right out of the jail. When hope is lost, when hope was lost, the church prayed and God showed up with a miracle. If you're here today and you feel like hope has been lost, then it's time for us to come together as a church and pray and watch God do a miracle. When hope is lost, the church prays, God did a miracle. Peter, between two guards, chained up, guards outside, chains fall off. It's not easy to get out of chains. They walk past two sets of guard. The big gate opens by itself. No human rescue could pull this escape off unnoticed. That's the point. It is completely and totally impossible for a human to pull off this escape, this rescue of Peter. The only explanation is an act of God. God is in the business of setting people free. He set Peter free here in prison. And guess what? He sets us free from our sins when we give our heart and our life to Jesus Christ. At some point in time, every single person on this earth is in prison to sin. We are in prison and we are doomed to a real place called hell that we will spend all eternity apart from Jesus. But God, in His love for us, sent Jesus to set us free. And when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, when we cry out and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner, save me," we are saved just like that. We are set free from the prison of sin. God moved in such a way to rescue Peter that the praying church was in shock. And then we see this crazy thing. It's like, I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. Imagine Peter just escaped. Now he's knocking on the door and no one's letting him in. Like, I just got out of prison. Come on, guys, let me in. Peter goes to where the church is praying for him and something interesting happens. Again, sadly, this is a testimony of my prayer life at times. They are told Peter is there and they don't believe it. They were praying for Peter, so they should have expected God to free him instead of doubting he was there. Peter was knocking, and they think the girl is crazy. When we pray, do we expect God to move? Do we expect God to move in His church? Or do we believe that the story that's always been said, that this is hopeless Hopewell, is true? Do we expect God to change that? Do we expect God to move? Do we expect God to do something miraculous and amazing and incredible and powerful in His church? And are we praying for it? Do we expect God to move in our lives? Do we expect God to do something incredible, magnificent, and amazing in our lives? Do we expect God to use us in a mighty way? Do we expect God to send revival upon this church, upon this city, and upon this land? Are we expecting God to move? Are we expecting revival to take place? Are we expecting salvations? Are we expecting baptisms? Or are we just doing what we've always done because that's what we're comfortable with? Are we expecting things to change for the better? Are we expecting Him to do something miraculous? Are we expecting Him to do something amazing? And are we praying as a church for that to happen? Are we praying for God to move? With God, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation. We pray and expect God to move for the good of His people. Oh, how often I pray expecting God not to do what I pray. It's easy to pray because I know it's what I'm supposed to do and not expect any results. It's easy just to pray because that's the thing to do. We know that we're supposed to pray as we start the service. We know we're supposed to pray when we get our food. No, we're supposed to pray at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. But how often does prayer simply become a routine? And when prayer becomes a routine, it loses its power. When we cry out to God, when we pray to God, we should expect something to happen. As the people of God, we are to trust in the power of prayer and expect God to move as we cry out to Him. God is in the business of doing the impossible. Peter is in prison and God brings him out. That was an impossible situation.
The walls of Jericho, that was an impossible situation. We just talked about this Wednesday night as we're going through Joshua, how the people marched around the city one time for 6 days, then seven times on the seventh day, and when they shouted, the walls fell straight down. Now, we need to understand the miraculous nature of this miracle. If the walls fell back this way, it would have fell on the Israelites and killed them. If the walls fell this way, it would have completely destroyed the city. The walls, the text says the walls went straight down. And then they're told to go get Rahab and her family out, so clearly the walls didn't fall where they were. So only the other walls fell. So it happened in such a way that it could only be accredited to God. Crossing the sea on dry ground. And this is why I love our Sunday night and our Wednesday night Bible studies, because I'm able to learn so much too. You know, we were talking about the Israelites one Wednesday night crossing on dry ground, and Mr. James brought something out. He goes, you got to realize when there's water and dirt, it's muddy. But it says the people walked through on dry ground. So the miracle was so grand and so great that God did that when they walked across the seas, the ground was dry. It wasn't even muddy no more. Not even red clay. It was dry. What about when the sun didn't set for an entire day? Or how about when Lazarus was in the grave for multiple days and Jesus walks up and says, Lazarus, come out. Our God is a God of the impossible. There's no such thing as hopeless, my dear people. With God, there is no hopeless situation. We cry out to God knowing that He is the one that makes the difference. We cry out to God knowing He will move in ways that bring honor and glory to His name. We cry out to God knowing that He will answer our prayers. And when God answers our prayers, we need to tell others about it. Look at this last verse, verse 17. But nothing but monitoring to them with His hand to keep silent, He declared to them how the Lord had brought Him out of the prison. And He said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And He departed and went to another place. When Peter tells how he escaped, he gives all the glory to God. He says, God did it. And then he tells them to go encourage others. Now we see that one James has been killed. That would have been the brother of John. And now Peter says, go tell this other James. That would be the brother of Jesus who would become the leader in the Jerusalem church. Go to and the writer of the letter of James. So go tell him what has happened. We are to be a people of prayer expecting God to move in mighty ways. And when God moves in mighty ways, we need to tell everybody else what God has done so they too can see the power of God. As we close this morning, a couple questions. Have you had a challenging 2023? As we look back on 2023, has it been a challenging year? Has your life gone just as you expected it to in 2023? Have you struggled with why certain things happen in 2023? If you can say yes to any of those, I want to challenge you with this. Let me read those questions again. And if you can say yes to any of them, now there's probably some of us that could say yes to all three of them. Have you had a challenge in 2023? Has your life not gone as you expected it? And have you struggled with why certain things happen? If you answer yes to any of them, bring it all to God in prayer, expecting Him to move as He sees fit. Bring it to God in prayer. Constantly, fervently, and anticipate. Hope is not tied up in how things play out on this earth. Hope is tied up in Jesus, who went to the cross for our sins, knowing that one day we will be with Him for all eternity. Our hope comes from Jesus. We are to pray, expecting God to move in ways that only He can. Lord, as we come to You this morning, we come to You as a church praying that You would move in a mighty way. Praying that You would bring revival to this church in this town and make a difference in this community, in this world, with the message of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would heal those that are sick, those that are struggling with cancer, that you would bring comfort to the families of the hurting and the aching. Lord, we pray that you would grow us as a church. We pray that you would draw us closer together. We pray that you would set us free from any prisons that we might find ourselves in. We pray that your Spirit would be poured out upon us like never before. We pray that a move of God would take place here and now in this place. We pray that the Holy Spirit would take over. We pray that you would move. We pray that you would speak. We pray that you would show us your way, your will for our lives. And we pray that we would follow after you with all that we are. Lord, we come to you this morning asking you to give us hope, asking you to give us help, asking you to give us healing, knowing that only you can. And Lord, we pray. We pray to see people saved. We pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, that they would come and surrender their heart and their life to Jesus, that they would come and say, I need Jesus. I need to get my life right before the Lord. And Lord, as we get ready for 2024 tomorrow, I pray that it would be the best year that we've ever seen, that we come together as a praying church seeking your will, and that we will see a move of God like never before. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.